Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Well, welcome back, everyone, to Weekend Warriors Hockey. We are so glad you're joining us. I'm Austin, and joining me today are Rick Parisi and Coach Rob Boyle. Today, we've hit a landmark. This is our 10th full episode. So, gentlemen, congratulations. I'm pretty excited with that.
Cool.
And I figured, we'd hit 10 sometime in the late summer just because you guys would be traveling. But lo and behold, the travel schedule has changed for the 2020 Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Camps. And COVID-19 kind of blew everything up for you guys. So
it hasn't changed. It's been non-existent.
So instead of, would this have been a weekend you guys were traveling?
But to be in Atlanta this week, so Rob would be at home. It was his first camp ever where he could sleep in his own bed. Yeah. And not happening.
would have had the coaches over for dinner tonight. That we'd be on the ice right now. And actually, we'd probably be in video right now. Yeah, it would be. I was really looking forward to actually just driving to the rink and then driving home afterwards. Didn't have to do back to hotel or wait for anybody. But I'm going to have to wait a whole year now.
Yeah. Good news is, do you still tonight get to sleep in your own bed? So that will
work. I do get to sleep in my own bed. My son surprised
us. Everybody gets to sleep in their own bed.
Yeah.
My son surprised us by coming home from college, and he was in Pennsylvania, and he did a self quarantine. I think he did like 20 something odd days. So he was a little concerned about giving it to us. And, but he showed up, I don't even know what today is, what day it is, but, Wednesday, I guess.
Friday. Yeah.
So Wednesday he showed up.
May 1st.
Yeah. So yeah, we're excited. We're excited to have him here, but yes, I do get to sleep in my own bed. And this is what I look forward to every week, because I get to talk hockey. And now that he's home, I'll get to talk hockey a little bit more. So hopefully I get more hockey in my life, because I need it right now.
Yeah, we'll try and keep you sharp with talking some hockey every week. So anyway, this is our 10th episode. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining and for helping set this up. So again, I thought we'd be well into the summer, maybe even into August by the time we got to 10, just because of your travel schedules. But here we are on the 1st of May recording this, and we're on episode 10. So interesting thing, yesterday we were supposed to record this, but I ended up getting, not me specifically, but in the community here, we got asked to come help the local hockey rink. So I got to go to my rink yesterday. Unfortunately, there's no ice, and we're helping repair some leaking pipes about 12 to 18 inches below the what would be the ice surface. So at my rink here in Florida, we are trying to get that repaired and open it up for skating in June. So I guess good news, bad news. Good news is maybe we'll be skating in June. Bad news is we got to fix the hockey rink first. So so I spent the last couple of days, including to about 20 minutes ago, I got home and from working, digging in sand all the last couple of days. So that's been fun. So last week we did a player profile with Ryan McGee. So if you want to go give that an episode 9, a listen, that would be awesome. It was a fun time having Ryan on. And today we're going to be discussing a few more general tips, tricks, and techniques for players out there, adult hockey players. And these are going to be a little bit more offensive in nature. And again, we're not going to talk about any specific systems since this is beer league hockey. Just some ideas on some things, maybe some golden rules, if you will, to follow. So we'll get started talking about the first one. The first one is about always attacking with the puck. Basically, don't make it easy for the other team to catch you from behind. Using pressure to make it a lot harder for defensemen to cover, and hopefully get you into some 2-on-1s or 3-on-1 situations.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to that one. That's a loaded question. I think one of the things that we want to make sure is that when we're attacking the blue line, that first and foremost, you want to attack cohesively as a group. And if possible, I mean, there's going to be times when you are by yourself, you might find yourself with the puck and not really a whole lot of support. And so you might have to be creative in how you maybe create a little time and space for your teammates to get caught up. Sometimes you might have to chip in and attack on your own and chip and go battle for a puck. But yeah, the one thing, you know, you do want to go with speed, but sometimes once you hit the blue line, you might have to adjust that speed to allow your support to get into position to be able to make a play or be able to get that puck. So yeah, I want to attack with speed. So if anybody's been to camp, and I'm sure they have, I've always used the house, the street, and the park to kind of comment a little bit on the three zones, and the house being the defensive zone where we take care of things, the neutral zone being the street. We don't want to play in the street a whole lot because we want to get through. We don't get hit by a car or a bus. So we want to get across the street into the park as quickly as possible and have some fun and be creative. So we do want to get through that neutral zone, but there are going to be times when you're going to have to adjust your speed a little bit and maybe allow for teammates to catch up. So I think first and foremost, just be aware of your surroundings when you're attacking. Look for your support. See where it's coming from. If you are a non-puck carrying player, make sure you're communicating. Make sure you're talking. Let them know where you are. Let them know, you know, maybe it is a two-on-one and already, and the communication needs to be shoot, shoot, shoot. And, you know, there's no room to make that pass, and that's okay. As long as it's communicated, make sure if you're the non-puck carrying player, let them know it's okay to shoot that puck. Let them know that you're in a position. Again, down low, stuff you hear on the ice. You know, it's important. We talk about, you know, communication defensively a couple of weeks ago. It's just as important, maybe even more important offensively. Maybe not more, but just as much, you know, and creating offensive opportunities. So yeah, you want to attack with speed. You do want to attack lanes. You do want to try to force a defenseman to get turned, but again, you want to do it as a group if you can. And so again, speed might have to be adjusted from time to time. What an odd man situation can really do for you from an offensive standpoint is push the defenseman back, right? So they got to make a decision. If you can come up ice on an odd man situation, it would be a 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 3-on-2. And there's no back pressure coming, you know, but that speed does is pushes the defenseman back a little further, gives you a little bit more room in the offensive zone to maybe make a play, maybe do a crisscross at the blue line, that type of thing. So it is important to get your speed up and going through the neutral zone. But again, depending on what the situation is, you might have to adjust once you hit the blue line.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, the idea with pushing the puck obviously is to put pressure on those defenders that are in front of you to have to figure out how to defend you properly, and also to make people try and, you know, as we mentioned a couple episodes ago, for back pressure and back checking, which does require effort and an actual decision to do that kind of stuff. So let's kind of move on to the second topic here, which is got kind of multi phases to it as well as the first one. And it kind of, we'll start out with pushing the puck up the ice with passes to line mates that are open and then joining the rush rather than skating the puck up by yourself. And so what I mean by that is the idea would be that if you've got the puck at the blue line, your own blue line, you're exiting the zone. If there's players ahead of you, the best way to attack that is to move the puck to line mates instead of skating it yourself. They're already ahead of you. The puck moves faster than you will by skating it. So I just wanted to kind of get your guys' thoughts on that as a just kind of a rule of thumb, if you will.
You mean by passing it?
Yes, by passing it rather than skating it yourself.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought you meant. You know, I'll take it back even further. And I will say this, especially on breakouts. You know, if your defenseman goes back and picks up the puck, if they can start wheeling it right away, I would say, yeah, use their feet to get going. Start. Don't set up behind the net. Don't wait for, you know, get going up ice as quickly as you can by using your feet. That being said, once you get turned up ice, look for that available option. You know, I also say this at every camp, like the game changes, the picture changes every time you're coming up ice. So I'm looking over to my right side. All right, that player's open, but now I'm going to look over to the left, see what's there. And then nothing's there. And you look back to the right. Well, now something's changed over there. So, you know, sometimes just making that first easy play is the best option, and just move that puck, like you said, up ice. It allows other people to adjust quickly and support quickly, as opposed to, like you said, if you're trying to skate that thing up ice and you have people ahead of you, you get to the blue line, well, you're going to be by yourself because everybody else is going to have to stop And so, yeah, we want to definitely move the puck up as quickly as possible. That being said, it's important, again, for the players without the puck to make sure that their options, make sure they're in a position to get the puck, presenting their stick. You know, don't go stand at the far blue line and wait for a defenseman. Again, trying to create speed through the neutral zone. So you got to come back to the puck a little bit, you know, and put yourself in a position and get some speed going up ice. But if you are a non-puck carrying offensive player, it's your responsibility to put yourself in a position to get the puck. It's not the responsibility of the, you know, of the puck carrying player to get you the puck if you're not available. It is a responsibility, and it kind of sounds weird, but it is your responsibility to move the puck, yes. But if you don't have an option, you're just turning the puck over. So it's the non-puck carrying offensive player that really has got to put themselves in a position to get the puck for a successful transition up ice or to create an opportunity offensively. Because if you're not, if you're just standing there and you're becoming an easy target to defend, it's easy for defenders to read, because a lot of times, especially in beer league hockey, a defenseman comes up, and as soon as they look up, they see it, and they'll look down at their puck, generally make a pass with their heads down. Try to take that out of your repertoire at camp, but a lot of times people will look up, and then they go to make the pass, look down, you're telegraphing that pass right away, and it becomes an easy play to defend if you're standing still. So it's important for the non-puck carrying players to put themselves in a position to get the puck. That's their responsibility. They're the ones who are going to create passing angle. They're the ones who are going to help create the speed. And again, if they're not doing that, it just creates a whole lot of problems for the player carrying the puck up ice.
One of the most common requests we get at camp, or things that people want to learn, is they say, you know, that hot potato syndrome, right? They get the puck and they feel like there's a clock ticking. They need to get rid of it. And there is a clock ticking, right? But you don't want to just get rid of it and pass it to somebody who's not open, or possibly to the other team, because you haven't taken a look. And so one of the things we do is we encourage them to kind of take a breath, slow down, think, and maybe take a look before they get the puck. So be aware of your options, you know, keeping your head up before you get the puck. Like, if I get the puck, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to skate up the ice? Do I have room? Do I have an open teammate that I'm going to see and I'm going to hit? Because the quicker you make those decisions, then the less likely the other team is going to be able to react to them.
Yeah. So again, going back to the breakout scenario, you know, coaching my teams, you know, I'm always telling defensemen, sneak a peek over your shoulder, look before you get to the puck. So I'm going back for the puck. I'm going to look over my shoulder one way, and I'm going to look over my shoulder the other way. I want to see where the pressure is coming from. I also want to see where my support is. So it's important to take a look over the shoulders when you're going back to retrieve the puck. Once that puck gets going up ice, and Rick's exactly right, if you know that puck's coming to you, you should have options. You know, you got to know what you want to do with it before it even gets to you. So you got to be surveying the ice the entire time. Don't just look at the puck. Just kind of see how the play is developing. And once you get the puck, you need to know what you want to do with it once you get it. Am I going to skate it? Do I have an option to pass? Do I have no options at all? Maybe I got to chip it in and go battle. So I think Rick makes a great point there that you kind of think ahead, try to stay two steps ahead. Like, what am I going to do once I get the puck? What are my options? And again, you do that by just knowing what your surroundings are, just having that on ice awareness. What's around me? What's developing? Where are my players? How can I make a play?
Yeah. And all of this takes time for people to develop, especially players who are coming to the game. As adults, it does take time to develop both just the general skills of playing hockey, but then also the tactics, if you will, of how to do this kind of stuff. So you will get frustrated as a hockey player, no doubt, in these situations at times. All of us do it. But you know, the idea of continually practicing it and thinking about it while you're on the ice, and that's kind of why, you know, whether it's through one of the camps or just hopefully through one of these discussions, people start thinking about it that, okay, I got the puck. I'm a left winger. We're breaking out. Now what do I do? And if you have no idea what to do, it's going to be hard to do the right thing. But the idea here is to talk through this and to get an idea that, one, the puck moves faster than the other team. So if you have the ability and an available player to pass to, try and make that pass. But as Coach Rob said, if you don't know where you're going to go with the puck, it's really hard to do it. Especially fast. So that's the idea here, is just to think through these things and kind of talk about how to make this make you more successful as a hockey player. But it does take time, and it will be frustrating. It can be frustrating for all of us, for sure. So,
well, I was just gonna say, at some point, and like you said, it does take a little time. So most adult league players, when they come, like they're conscious of everything, right? They you're conscious of, how am I skating? How am I going to control the puck? And where's everybody else? Where are all the people? But at some point, once you keep practicing, it just becomes unconscious how to do these things, how to look, where to look, knowing my players, where do they go? How can they skate? Who's usually available? Who puts themselves in, like, all these things come into that decision-making process. And again, when you're making these decisions on the ice, you're making them in seconds. Like you literally have seconds. And so it is something that you try to build towards, to become that unconscious player that just becomes a natural way of doing things. So, there's your conscious, and then you become like conscious, unconscious, and then everything just becomes natural. But it takes a little time to develop that.
The question we get all the time is, not so much at camp, but before people go to camp, they want to know, how good do they have to be before they go to camp? You know, they're worried, they're just starting out. And I always tell them, for me, it's better that you go right as a beginner, because you learn things the right way, right? You're not developing the bad habits that you have to unlearn at camp. So it's okay to come out as a beginner and learn all that stuff the right way, even though it's like drinking through a fire hose, trying to learn all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's really, really hard to do some of the things that you guys are asking them to do, but that's good. You're putting them out of their comfort zone, but you're helping their muscle memory and teaching them the correct way to do things, or at least, and we've mentioned this before, Rob will teach a certain thing a certain way, and another coach will teach the same thing a little bit different, but it's generally the same concept. So, okay. I did want to throw out there, one of the things that Rob brought up, which was about, when you get the puck, you're trying to get it up the ice, you want to make that pass, you look up, there's your teammate, they're 10, 15 feet away. It's not a crazy cross ice pass. That's a bad idea in some situations. You drop your head back down to make that pass. Next thing you know, they're covered. So one of the things you guys bring up in camps a lot, or at least is brought up, is being the difference between, if I'm going to try and get this correct, the difference between being open and the difference between being open and available. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can be open, right? I mean, anybody can get open, but what does that mean? You can be open, meaning that you have a lot of space around you and there's no one on you right now, but are you available for the puck? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And, a lot of times, especially in when we see, or we do the scrimmages for camp, we'll see one player offensively battling for the puck against two defenders, sometimes three, because they don't know where they're going either. And then we see the two other offensive forwards just standing in front of the net. And so are they open? Probably. But are they available for the puck? No, because your player with the puck can't see you because it's got three players on him. So you either got to get in there and help out, and make yourself available for the puck, move to the puck. I would say move to the puck. At higher levels, we see the big cross ice pass. And again, what allows them to do that? Their skill ability, right? They have the ability to make those cross ice passes, full tilt, hard passes, almost like a shot. And so they have that ability. I find with beer leaguers, you got to move to the puck. You got to have better support, because the skill level is obviously not quite at the elite level. And you got to make yourself available for the puck. So that means moving to the puck and making it easier on your teammate. Make playing smarter, not harder. We said that before. You got to move and put yourself in position for the puck. Don't just stand there and wait for the puck to come to you. You got to move and put yourself in the best position to receive a pass. And so that doesn't mean that, you could be open, but you might not be available for the puck. So there is a distinction there.
Yeah, because it's, like you said, it can be very easy to get open, and it can be very easy to be, even to be what you might consider to be open and available to a long cross ice pass. But the chances of that actually being successful at what most of us are playing at is probably pretty low, and probably not the best place to be available to them. So just one of those things I want to throw out there, the difference between being open and being open and available are two different things. So we've kind of rolled through a couple of ideas here, which is attacking with the puck. Don't make it easy for teams to catch you from behind. And then moving the puck, if you can, the best way to move the puck is by through passes rather than trying to push it up by yourself, skating it forward. So the last thing I wanted to talk about today was just about, and we've hit on it a couple of times, mostly tongue in cheek, I think, but it has to do with effort and short shifts. It can be tricky for when you're playing, whether it's pickup or even organized adult hockey, with you know, measuring what that means. It means different things, I think, to different people and to different teams.
What does that mean? What is a short shift in beer league hockey?
That is the question I'm throwing out to the two of you.
Well, I always tell people that, you know, the best hockey players in the world, most world-class athletes, go out there for 40 seconds. So how long should we be out there for? You know, I'm not sure what the answer is, but it's definitely not 5 minutes.
I think that where this stems from a lot is when we talk about ice time as a beer league player, we want to be on the ice. And, you know, if you're new to the game or you don't have a high skill level, or you're not quite up to maybe skating in whatever league you play in, I think there's this, well, I didn't touch the puck, or I didn't do this and nothing happened. And, you know, there's kind of this, I don't know if it's a mindset or what have you, that, you know, you're on the ice and maybe you didn't accomplish much. And what is that accomplishment? You know, is it, you know, I didn't score a goal, I didn't make a good pass. Well, you know, sometimes on a shift, and even at the highest level, you're not going to get the puck. You you just played well positionally, defensively, or what have you, and that opportunity didn't come. And maybe you feel that you didn't accomplish something. So people have a tendency to stay out there a little longer until they get something completed. And a lot of times they don't have, one, the necessary fitness to stay out for long shifts. And now they get too tired and then they can't get off. And then the other part of it is you do have those guys out there that just want to take long shifts. I mean, that it is what it is. I think if you're out there, and I understand that sometimes, and we're talking about teams that have full benches. We're not talking about, you know, seven players showing up to play on a Friday night. We're talking about having a full complement of players and taking long shifts. I think that, you know, there are those that like just to stay out there. But if you're staying out for that long period of time, especially as adults, then you're probably not working hard enough. I mean, that's how we really got to kind of look at it. If you've been out there for a minute, let's just say, you know, a minute's probably, I think, a good reasonable shift at the adult league level. And if you're out there for a minute, it's probably long enough. Like if you're out there and you're able to stay out there longer, you probably haven't worked hard enough. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but you know, there's always something to do when you get on the ice. You joke about there's no back checking. Well, yeah, you do got to get back. You know, offensively, there goes Austin and Rick on a 2-on-1. I'm just going to sit back here and watch. I don't have to get up there. Jeez, I want to save my energy for the rest of the shift. And no, I get up in the play. I got to get up in the play. I got to be involved. Well, there's always something to do when you get out on the ice. It might not be the glamour stuff, but there's always something to do. And, you know, going from the dots to the boards on a breakout, full speed, and maybe you have to get back to the dots. I mean, that can tire you out.
You know, the other thing that I find really tiring is battling, right? Like, I can skate down the ice and maybe not be exhausted, but if I'm in a corner battling, you know, it's kind of like hand-to-hand combat for about 20 seconds battling for a puck. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, now I'm really tired. And maybe it's time to get off, you know, in 20 or 30 seconds instead of a minute or two.
Yeah. And so when you talk about, you know,
Austin, you used the phrase maximum effort. I think if you want to get a good experience adult hockey wise, you get out there and work your hardest, as hard as you can for that entire shift. And like I said, it's not going to always be the getting the puck down the wing and, you know, your mullet's flowing out of the back of your helmet and you're going to go in, you're going to take a slap shot across the blue line and score a goal. It might be something as simple as just hustling back into your zone and making it, you know, having your stick in the right position and knocking it away, knocking a pass away. That's a great play. I mean, getting down up and down the ice hard just once there and back is going to be hard for an adult league player. Not hard, but it's going to take a lot out of you physically, you know? And so if you're not doing those things and you're just kind of ho-humming it back, and I kind of make reference to that at camp when we watch the scrimmage video sometimes, and sometimes players aren't getting back as quickly as they can. I was always make a note of that. And, but you know, it does mean something different everywhere. I get that. But I think for the most part, if you're not doing something, you're not working hard, if you're not tired after a minute, then you probably aren't working as hard as you can.
Yeah. And I think what I take away from that a lot is giving, you have to give the effort. And if you give the effort, and this is what I try and run through my mind, if I give a true, honest, hard effort, the short shifts will happen because I'm just going to be too tired to be effective after that. And then you have to know I'm not effective anymore, and you got to find a good time to change. So, and when I don't do that, when I go out there and I'm not thinking about giving a hard effort, I tend to be lazy and my shifts get longer. And it's up to every individual to figure out where that is within them. But, you know, there's a ballpark. I think you're right. There's a ballpark somewhere around a minute and a half, maybe. Part of it depends on what you're doing. You know, if you're a defenseman and you're in your offensive zone, you may not be working super hard. You may just be moving the puck here and there a little bit, but moving back and forth. But if you're pinned in your own defensive end and everybody's scrambling, it's going to take it out of you a lot quicker than other times. Or if there's a lot of breakouts, if it's moving back and forth real quick, you're just, you know, so the minute's probably a good benchmark, but I think it's the effort that really will determine what your shifts are, and the better effort you give, the shorter those shifts are actually going to be. And then you get to the bench and then you got to recover. You know, if you're out there for 3 minutes, it's a lot harder to recover on the bench for your next shift.
I'll also say this, is if you are out there and you are playing smart and you have yourself in good position, maybe you can extend your shift a little bit. So if you're putting yourself in a good position to defend, and if you're putting yourself in a good position to be a threat offensively, and you know, you're going to the right spots, and you know, then yeah, I think that maybe you can extend your shift a little bit. I mean, And I'll say it's different for defensemen than it is for forwards, because forwards, you are constantly skating. Defensemen, you're a lot of stop and go, right? I mean, there's a reason why defensemen you see in the league today can play 29 minutes. Eric Karlsson was playing 30 minutes a game. Brent Burns, 29 minutes a game. That's half the game. That's half of a 60-minute game, 60-minute stop time game, and where they're playing at high levels, high intensity. Yes, they're in phenomenal shape, no question about it. But those guys like that, and I'll even put Nick Lindstrom and Chris Pronger back in the day, also could log a lot of ice times because they were smart at picking their spots, and they were smart at positioning themselves in the right spots on the ice that allowed them to stay out there a lot longer. So you kind of have to look at it a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah, well, the other big difference, though, with the, you know, between beer league and the NHL is the fact that in the NHL, you want your best players out there as long as they can be out there, or for as many minutes in the course of a game, whereas in beer league, you know, we're all paying the same amount. So we should all be, you know, paying the same amount, playing the same amount, yeah, basically. So exactly. your goals are to share the ice time fairly, not to, and so if you're sharing it fairly, you know, if you take a short shift and your line mate takes a short shift, then you're back on there. If you only have two lines, which I like the best, because you know, when you have three lines, I think it gets diluted. Like, you know, you get off, the other guy gets on, but it's a different guy coming on for you. Whereas if you only have two guys, right, you have two left wings, let's say, and you're switching for each other, you know, well, if I took a short shift, then, you know, the guy I'm switching with is going to maybe also say, okay, yeah, I could take a short shift, and we're going to both be out there 50% of the time. His question is, do we do it in 40-second increments, in 1-minute increments, or 5-minute increments, right? So let's do it in a time that makes sense.
I think that makes a, I think that's a great point. You know, I think if you have some players that can set the tone, maybe sometimes your best player setting the tone by, you know, having quick shifts, I think that can trickle down. And then it can be something you mentioned on the bench too, in our conversation last week. You know, we didn't really get into that, but, you know, we were asked, you know, what can you do with your teammates? You know, sometimes you just got to say quick shift, boys, quick shifts. And sometimes that can work. And, you know, I think sometimes if some players take the lead on that, I think others will follow.
When I play pickup hockey, I always try to start, because what I want to do is do that. I want to go out there, I'll start, and I'll come off like in 30 seconds or something to kind of set the tone and say, yeah, let's roll them quickly, you know?
All right. So we've rolled into a little bit today about moving the puck, attacking with the puck, moving the puck best you can with passes. You'll generally move faster with passing, but you got to be open and available. Your line mates do. And then putting in hard, honest efforts. And that should help alleviate the question of how long is a shift supposed to be. If you put in that hard, honest effort, I think it'll take care of itself. So with that, Rick, did you want to throw anything out there with a COVID-19 coronavirus update?
Not a whole lot to say. Last week, we canceled our Lake Tahoe camp, and Monday of this week, our Boston camp. We are hoping to get started with our first camp of the year then in June in Buffalo. And then after that would be the camp in Vail. So we're hoping that, you know, kind of today's May 1st, and a lot of, you know, states are starting to move towards opening things up. So we don't have a clear picture yet from all the rinks as to when that's going to happen and how it's going to happen. But we are remaining positive and hoping that starting June 1st, we're actually June 4th with the Buffalo camp, we'll be able to start up. So we'll know more in a week or two.
And hopefully New York is an interesting state in how they're going to actually open stuff up, because you got New York City and then you got Buffalo. They're two totally different situations, I'm sure, when it comes to this.
Yep. So
hopefully the folks in that Buffalo region can move forward at a different pace than those in New York City. So we'll see how that goes. So, all right. Rob, anything you want to sign off with?
No, I'm, like I said, I enjoy coming on every week because it's the only hockey I have right now. Is talking about it. So I hope to see everybody at the rinks real soon, and keep practicing in your driveways if you can. If you have a shooting range that you can take some shots with pucks, don't be afraid to do that. And just try to get in shape. I am finally have my, I'm going to have my garage ready to work out for myself finally this weekend. So I'm excited about that. So I'm hoping other people are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Excellent. Yep. So I did hear for our league, we're going to finish up the spring season. So we're going to hit the ground running. We got, I think, 3 regular season games left, and then we got the playoffs. So we're going to have to roll right back into it in my league once we get picked up. So
Let's hope the NHL follows your lead.
Yeah, there's some interesting discussions out there about what they're going to do, which includes finishing this season and then not starting next season until December and still trying to get 82 games in. And I don't know. The more hockey, the better, but there's some interesting things that will have to be decided in the near future with that. So anyway, Rick, anything you want to throw out there before we sign off?
Nope, that's all. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks, Rick and Coach Rob. Appreciate it every week. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please stay safe. As Rob mentioned, try and stay in shape the best you can and stay motivated, because we all are going to get to hit the ice pretty soon, I hope. So thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three, and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.